Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisory firm. Price Financial Group has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investment and retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations may vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial program with a certified financial planner, estate planning attorney, and a certified public accountant to answer your questions for free. Got a tough estate, tax, or financial problem keeping you up at night? You can call the show right now at 503-222-9700. That's 503-222-9700. Long distance and podcast listeners can call toll free at 800-344-5836. Coming to you live from Portland, Oregon, and broadcast on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Bo Caldwell.
We do Investing Simplified.
Welcome into Investing Simplified. However you're listening today, thanks for making us a part of your day. We really appreciate it. As a reminder, we do play the show via podcast wherever you get your podcast. You can also visit InvestingSimplifiedRadio.com. So let me tell you, folks, this week has been almost a return to normalcy in the markets. If you're watching the capital markets, we have almost gotten what has felt like, you know, a normalcy back into the market in terms of the movements in the market have not been extreme this week. But that's kind of crazy to think about. I mean, when you think about it, and now the movements are 1% up or 1% down, and we feel normal about that, even though the market ended down for the week. But that's a more normal movement when just 3-4 months ago, I was talking about, hey, we've had more movement in the market from a, you know, from a, you know, 1% standpoint daily than we had had ever. And that was something crazy to think about. But if you think about what's happened over the last couple of weeks, the last month and a half or so, this movement in the market has been unprecedented and it's caught a lot of people off guard. So long term, market is still the best place to grow your wealth just comparatively on a relative basis. But it can be really difficult and it can be really scary for people. And so there have been a lot of things that have come out, a lot of noise about the coronavirus, about COVID testing that has moved the market up, moved the market down. And it's a roller coaster, no matter how you phrase it. The market eventually will come back. I believe it will come back, but we don't know that. That's the thing that's going to be kind of crazy and interesting to watch as we see over the next couple of weeks. Now, I'm not the sort of perma bear that, you know, that Chuck has been. I know Harry Dent has been a perma bear for a long time because we do have this significant, you know, government debt that has just been growing and growing. And I don't care who you are, if you have to be intellectually honest with yourself, government debt is growing under every administration. Whether they're Democrat or Republican, the government debt is growing. They spend it on different things. And you can have an argument about what they spend it on and whether you like what they spend it on, but they spend. The government just spends. And so that continues to grow in terms of a debt load. And that's something that's going to have to be taken care of. And I think that that weighs both on the tax side, but also on the market side. The other thing that's crazy, now, yeah, we had only 4+ million jobless claims this week. Only, listen to that phrase, only 4+ million, right? That's almost 8 times higher than the previous record before this last couple of weeks when we hit 6 million, 4 million, right? It is crazy to think about that we used to have the highest level of weekly jobless claims was in the 600,000 range, and now we're looking at 4 million new jobless claims and thinking, wow, that's a good step, right? Except it can't be. That all those people out of work, not putting money back into the, you know, into the economy, it can't be a good thing for the economy. And I think the market has not properly discounted that. I think we are due to test the lows. Later on, you hear me talk about that a few times today as we go through things. But I think we're due to test the lows again, the March 23rd lows, and may even blow through them. And that's my thought. Now, I don't know that that's the case. The market is, you know, unpredictable, and anybody who knows, quote-unquote, doesn't really know. Some people have said they think the market's going to go up through the election and then crash afterwards. Some people have said they think it's going to crash again coming up soon. Like, I think we're going to have more volatility. I think that the market is being overly optimistic in terms of where companies and where, you know, shares should be trading at. I don't think the S&P 500 at 2,800 is sustainable, considering what the profits are in, you know, our marketplace right now. And if you're looking at a technical standpoint, from a trading standpoint, you can trace the movement of the market, and it looks very similar to me. And I sent this out to my clients and sent this out to folks who requested it. But when we look from a standpoint of looking at what the market did in 2000, 2001, 2002, it feels a lot like that right now in terms of we're going to have these bottoming events. You know, we'll have these rallies off the bottom, you know, 25%, 30% off the bottom. But I think that it's going to be overall, I think we're going to, it's going to take a long time to get to those lows, because what happens if we open up here coming up in the next, you know, month or two as a country, we start opening the economy and we have a resurgence of the virus. And so I think that that could very well happen. A lot of the doctors and the folks that I talk to that are in the medical field have said that's what they're planning on having happened. And so if we have to shut down again, that's going to be a drain on the market. Now, what if that doesn't happen, right? What if we do open up and people start going back out? I don't know that there's going to be as much pent-up demand as the market is pricing in. I don't think that people are going to be comfortable right away to go sit shoulder to shoulder in a movie theater, to sit shoulder to shoulder in a restaurant. I think that people are still going to be very concerned until we get a vaccine finalized, until we have a finalized really going to help therapeutic for the virus. I think people are still going to be pretty concerned. I was thinking about, you know, my beloved Ducks. I hope that they start playing football this fall. I'm really hopeful. I'd be sad if they don't. But then, you know, I had someone ask me, well, would you go to a game right now? If everything was open, would you go to a game right now? And I had to think about it. And I don't know. I don't know that I would, just because this virus is still around and so prevalent. Even here in Oregon, where we have very few cases, where we've done a good job of managing the virus, it seems like it may take a little while for us to get back to that. And so that's what a lot of people have concerns about investing in the market, and I do too. It concerns about how to keep invested, and the big key is don't focus on these day-to-day movements in the market, because the day-to-day movements are driven much more by sentiment and much more by news that comes out and that's pumped by the people on TV and the newsmakers, and much less by fundamentals, which it should be moving based on market fundamentals, and it just hasn't. So if you're investing for the long term, there's still opportunities to own. But if you need to have a strategy that you know you're not looking day to day, because if your strategy was, hey, we're going to go down much less than the market, but we might not go up. And let's say your portfolio went down 10, 11, 12% when the market was down 37, but now the market's rallied back 25% and you're only up 7 or 8. Well, that's still ahead of where you would have been, and or even if it's the same place that you would have been. Was the roller coaster ride something that you can sustain? Because a lot of people compare themselves to the S&P 500 or to the overall market, and they're not willing to take the risk of the downside of the overall market, but they want the upside. And that's just really an unrealistic expectation. There are ways to capture some of the upside. There are ways to capture a lot of the upside without downside risk, but you have to give something up. I've talked about that before. You always have to have a trade-off, whether that's willingness to employ the fluctuating strategy to deal with the volatility, to be able to hold on as the market goes down and may go down further. And then eventually we'll come back up, if that's your belief. That's my belief, that eventually it will come back. But how long is it going to take, and can you stand getting there? Now, it's even worse if you're in retirement, right? If you're approaching retirement, how do we stand the fluctuations of the market? And maybe it takes, you know, coming back to your plan. So if your plan was, okay, you were expecting by this time to be at $200,000 and you're at $250,000, you're ahead. It doesn't matter that you lost $25,000 or $30,000 so far this year, even though that's a big amount, 10 or 15% down, you lost a bunch of money. But are you ahead of your plan? Are you ahead of where you needed to be? So that's an interesting way to reframe it, but always think about, where are you going am I going to be able to get there? And am I going to be able to sustain my lifestyle through retirement or through income in work optional, or even if you're working, whatever your goal is for this money that you've been investing, are you going to be able to realize that goal no matter what happens in the market? Because it's not about this absolute return or this time, you know, over the last 3 months, over the last year, over the last year and a half, 2 years. It's not about looking back and wondering, well, what if I had bought this stock? What if I had owned the market at that time? A lot of people are asking, well, why aren't we just in the S&P 500, you know, back in early February? Because it's just going up. It's going like gangbusters. We should just own that low-cost index. And then suddenly those people aren't so happy about possibly owning that low-cost index, right? Because the market went down 37% from that high in February to the low in March. Now it's bounced back and it's come roaring back pretty quick. I think a little too quickly. But were you able to ride that roller coaster? If not, stop comparing yourself to the S&P 500. Compare yourself to your plan. Control what you can control. And if you need to lower risk, if you need to get some guarantees, if you need to move money into cash, move money into money market or to the bank, do it. If you need some help exploring that, call our office, 503-253-3000. We give a complimentary review of your situation, of your portfolio, and of your plan for radio listeners. We'll tell you if we think we'd be able to help. We'll tell you if you need to change anything. And if it looks good, we'll tell you that too. So with that, I'm going to take my first break here. Stick with me for more Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. So, folks, I've had people ask over the last few weeks, and I've talked a couple of times on various Zoom meetings and Facebook Live events and different things from different groups here around town, and the questions that have come up have been a lot of things around what should I be doing right now as I'm staying at home, as the coronavirus pandemic continues on, as we're in, you know, what I hope is our, you know, last few weeks of having to this quarantine and this staying at home. And the number one thing that I recommend to people is to, you know, not panic when they're talking about their investment side. So a lot of people are saying, you know, I've gotten the question more than once, should I take my money and stuff it under the mattress? Should I just panic and just light it on fire so everything's going down, right? And that conversation has slowed a little bit over the last few weeks as the market has sort of figured out its flow and moved in a much more reasonable manner. But the key is not to panic in terms of your overall strategy. Take a look and step back and take a look at what your long-term plan and your long-term goal is. And that doesn't mean that everyone should, you know, just buy all the stocks that are out there with all their money, because that's a question that's come up too, right? Is, do I just go in and buy now because it's on sale? You've been telling me that, you know, if stuff was on sale, then I should go buy. And that's a real possibility depending on what you're buying. If you're looking at opportunities, if there are stocks out there that you could look to buy, I think that any and all of the companies that are investigating the vaccine or the treatment for the coronavirus, if we can get a therapeutic that comes out that actually works, I think that those companies will probably pop a lot. You heard that from Gilead Sciences, the company that had positive results, or at least preliminary positive results, with their remdesivir drug, and the stock popped. But the danger is, just like, you know, on this week when they came out with a report that it actually did not work nearly as well as they had planned in the trials, and they're not really closer to a therapeutic drug, then their stock dropped. So you can run the danger of that. But I think the vaccines, the whatever company comes out with the vaccine first is going to really pop in that space. And I think that the biotech space in general is a good space maybe to invest in if you're looking for spots to go. I think that, that if it were me, that's where I'd put some of my money right now too. Now, it might go down. It might go straight down if they can't come up with a vaccine quick enough or if things drag out, but it could be an area for opportunity. But the key is when you're looking at answering that question, should I be buying in right now? Should I be buying equities? Should I be buying stocks? And the thought is, are you a trader or are you an investor? Because right now, when you're looking at the overall marketplace, the stock market in general, I think right now the people that are making money day to day are the traders. Now, I don't deal in trading. I don't try to time the market. I'm much more of a time in the market and establish a strategy for the long term and stick with it. But if you are a trader, then I think that there are opportunities to make money out there right now. If you're an investor, though, there's opportunity to make money as well. It just is not a short term. You have to have a long term view. So, folks, if you've been thinking about investing in the market, investing in a stock, you say to me, oh, I really wanted to buy the bottom, right? I think March 23rd might have been the bottom. I talked about that earlier. I think that that was the bottom, although I think we may retest that bottom. And we may get a little bit lower, actually. But I happen to think that we put the bottom in for at least right now. But the thing that people say to me all the time, and it's kind of a pet peeve of mine, although I talk about it, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, if I had known that February 19th was going to be the peak and had gone to cash, and if I had known that March 23rd was going to be a bottom, and then if I had known when it peaked again. You know, we talk about these things, if I had known, but that's just, you know, if wishes were horses, right? I think is the old phrase. You can never really know when the bottom is, and I've talked to a lot of folks who have their technical strategies and people who have their strategies for when to get in and when to get out. And those can be an effective strategy. And a lot of times they work well, but almost never do they get out at the exact right time and in at the exact right time. I did talk to a couple the other day and they got out at the exact right time, but they were self-aware enough, intellectually honest enough to explained that that was just by luck. They thought things were frothy and they got out and were comfortable maybe they'd miss out on some more upside. I do have a money manager that I work with as well that got out in November. And they were in cash and slowly started buying back into the high yield bond space back here towards the end of March. And they're actually year to date up about 8% in terms of their performance. But that's because they got lucky and in November were all out. But if you were working with a money manager, if you were working with an advisor, and if they had taken you all out in November, you'd have been real unhappy with them in December, real unhappy with them in February, right? Because you thought you should be getting all that upside and they got out. So that's the danger of trying to time the market. Now, it can work out if you can stick with it. If you have a timing strategy and you want to stick with it, it can work out. You just have to stick with it. I happen to believe in not making a binary bet, so I like to have some tactical strategies to manage for risk, but I like to have some strategic long strategies too, because over time, the best driver of wealth has been the stock market. Over time, it makes really good money, and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, but about the report that came out a few years ago about the average investor, and you know, as I'm have playing in the background in my office, as I'm there by myself, all by my lonesome, social distancing at the office, I've noticed that the talking heads on CNBC and on Fox Business and on Bloomberg all talk. They all talk about, timing the market. And you have these guys on there who are traders and timing. But if you really look at what they're investing in, they're investing for the long term. They're buying for the long term unless they're buying options. But in which case, they have a lot more money that's moving around, right? They have a lot more money, or they are part of those computer programs, those algorithms that we talked about earlier. They're part of those programs, you know, moving money around. But, you know, the thing that I did notice, and they have done this study, and I think it was SoFi or one of these other online investing companies, the smaller ones, but they said net fund flows in 401ks in the month of March were 64% to stable value. And then there was another 30-something percent, another, you know, maybe not 30-something, maybe 20-something percent went to money market. And then only 6% went into bond funds. And so a lot of this money that people have in their 401ks, they're moving to stable value. and because they're trying to time the market. And they might be right, but a lot of times I would bet if they analyzed when statistically those people moved to the stable value fund, and stable value can be a good portion of your portfolio, and if you're really risk averse, it could be your only portfolio. It's just going to grow a lot slower. But when people moved to that stable value fund, I would bet good money that that movement happened after the bottom or right near the bottom, right? So they're moving to stable value. Oftentimes it happens as soon as people give up. They can't take it anymore. They're moving to stable value in their 401k. And then the question is, when do you move back into the market, into equities? Now, this doesn't apply if you are approaching that retirement age. If you're real close to a retirement, maybe it makes sense to move some money to stable value, as long as you're aware that you're going to miss out on any upside that comes in the market. But if you're in your 30s, 40s, you know, even your early 50s, and you're 10, 15, 20 years plus from retirement, you're really going to hurt yourself by missing out on the best days in the market. There's been a study that's done, you know, countless studies that are done about missing the days in the market and about being in on the wrong days in the market. And really, long term, if you're a long term investor, you're going to average a lot better. If you think about the S&P 500 just itself, if you're just in the S&P 500, you're going to average better than 6 or 7% a year, no matter when you bought in. Then why do the average investors in a 401k only average 3% a year? Why do average investors, and that's supposed to be a growth portfolio. Now, if I was averaging 3% a year and I'm trying for principal protection, right? If my main concern is not losing money and I'm averaging 3% a year, that's pretty darn good. I don't know if you've looked at CD rates lately, but CD rates right now, last I had read, with 5-year CD was at 0.25%. Now, I don't know how good that feels for anybody else, but for me, that feels terrible. 0.25% is safely losing money. Your certificate of depreciation or certificate of disappointment is another way to look at a CD right now. Now, interest rates may come back. They may not. I don't know. You could remember a couple years, you know, a year ago, a few months ago, even just, you know, this time last year, 100% of those talking heads on the television, on the CNBCs, on the Fox Business, on the Bloombergs, anywhere you get your supposed financial news, and don't get me wrong, I do watch them because I like some of the shows and I like knowing what the market is actually doing during the day. But if you're watching these so-called experts, I don't want to say 100% of them, but almost all of them were calling for not just rising rates, but that we were going to get to a Fed funds rate of 4%. Where are we right now, folks? We're at zero. So people who forecast and pretend that they know really don't know. So if you're thinking that interest rates are going to go up, if you're thinking all that stuff and you're making moves in your 401k, I would argue you need to work from a risk perspective, not from a what's going to happen in the market perspective, because I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. The experts don't know what's going to happen. The people managing million, you know, billion-dollar hedge funds don't know what's going to happen. And so you can only control what you can control. And that's how much risk you're taking, knowing what you're giving up by taking less risk. So if you're in that stable value fund, you're giving up a lot more upside. If you're going to be moving into that stable value fund, make sure it's a long-term move. If you're going to be moving into the stock market, buy into the stock market now because you think it's on sale, which it is technically from where it was. We're still, you know, 13% down for the year in the S&P 500, still some 20-something percent down from the highs, right, from the all-time highs. It's on sale. And especially if you're getting individual companies, they are still on sale, but that doesn't mean that the sale might not get deeper. So if you're going to be buying into the equity market, if you're going to be buying into individual companies, be prepared for them to go down. I think, personally, that we're going to have more volatility over the next coming months. I said it before, I'll say it again. I think we are going to touch those March lows again, or at least retest them. But I'll go back to what I said before about the so-called experts. I don't even call myself a so-called expert. What do I know? I don't know anything, right? So really, we don't know what's going to happen, but what I can do and what I do for my clients is we manage from that perspective of what's your long-term vision, what's your long-term goal, and then we match that with what's your tolerance for risk, what kind of a roller coaster can you ride, and how much of that risk can we quarantine? Just, I'm going to keep that going. I like to coin that term since we're stuck in quarantine, but if we can quarantine some of your risk, if we can quarantine some of that market volatility and make sure that your long-term goals are achievable and that they are safely achievable without taking extra risk, then let's do it. If you haven't had that conversation with your advisor, give them a call. See if they'll sit down with you right now over Zoom, over the phone. Let's talk about reevaluating your goals, reevaluating how they're managing risk for you. We try to keep communication with our clients about the risk management at least every couple of weeks, if not weekly. And we try to keep in touch with our clients in terms of a one-on-one basis, at least but quarterly. You should be hearing from your advisor as often as you'd like. Let them know how often you want to talk to them, because you should be able to call them up and see what they're doing to actively manage your risk right now. If you want to have a second opinion, we do that as a complimentary service for radio listeners. Give us a call, 503-253-3000, or drop me an email, bo@pfgwm.com, and I'm happy to do that review for you, that complimentary risk analysis. We'll talk about your long-term vision and talk about making sure you're on track. We can do it virtually. We can use Zoom. We can use any sort of online or video chat to do that. We can also do it over the phone. I'm hopeful that we'll be back in the office soon. We can do it then. So give us a call, 503-253-3000, and schedule a time to sit down. We'd love to go over it with you. We'd love to talk to you about what you're doing. Make sure you just get that second pair of eyes on there, a free professional second opinion with no obligation. And worst case is, you feel better about what you're doing. So we're going to take a break there, and we'll be back with Investing Simplified. Thanks for listening.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. Thanks for making us a part of your quarantine routine. Just as a reminder, we do also rebroadcast the show on investingsimplifiedradio.com, as well as podcasts, Apple, iTunes, Google Play, iHeartMusic, wherever you get your podcast content. We do post the show there. We try to get it up soon after it airs live here on the weekends. we try to get it updated there as soon as we can. We are behind a couple of times, so please, you know, bear with us as we get things uploaded, as we are all working remotely, as I imagine most of you are, or staying home to avoid contamination or getting infected with this pretty nasty coronavirus that's going around. If you'd like to ask a question on the show, so I've taken a couple of questions from listeners that we normally like to take phone calls, but we're unable to take phone calls right now. But if you'd like to have a question answered, if something's been keeping you up at night, I'm sure that it applies to other people's situations. It also may be something that other people haven't thought of, but once they hear the question asked, it's something that applies to them. And so I've been asked to establish an email address just for questions for the show, for specifically now that we're doing this in quarantine, but also for once we get back to doing live shows. So if you have a question, if you're listening to us on a replay or on a podcast and you think, ooh, I have a question I want to know about my taxes, about my estate planning, about my investments, anything like that, send it to askbo@pfgwm.com. That's askbo at pfgwm.com. Very similar to what Chuck's used to be, Ask Chuck at PFG, but I'm not Chuck, I'm Bo. So you can send that email there. I'm happy to answer the question on a future episode of the show, on a future broadcast, and or if it's something you'd like to wait to be able to call in once we go back to being able to take calls, hopefully here in a few weeks, then you can save it for then. But people really like to hear
what's going on in other people's lives in terms of the questions they may have. So one question that I did have come in, what somebody had asked about, was about the PPP loan program and about how that worked and how it ran out of money super, super quickly and how that might apply to small businesses that maybe didn't get approved or maybe didn't apply for it. And the Congress just approved this week an addition to that stimulus bill. I don't know what else is in the bill besides the PPP loan. I hopefully will have enough information next week to kind of go in depth on what other aspects of the bill will apply to your situation if you're not a small business owner. But if you are a small business owner or a sole proprietor or an independent contractor, you can apply to the PPP loan through your bank. You can also apply through an online bank or through a bank that may not be yours. So I know I've heard from a lot of folks who say that they're with Wells Fargo or they're with JP Morgan or Bank of the West, and they have heard that there is no more funding for them because they have already allocated, those big banks have allocated their funding already, which has happened. So if you're in that situation, you can go to Lendio.com is one that I have heard really good things about. It's sort of a loan broker, but what they do is they work with a lot of smaller community SBA banks or SBA lenders, and they're maybe able to get you processed through faster than maybe what your big bank could have. So it's worth giving it a shot, going to Lendio.com, and I don't get paid by them or anything. I just have had a good experience with them from some clients that have used them. So they shop you out or explore other options that get you sent off to those small community banks. I would caution you to be careful about, I have heard there's a lot of scams going around about the PPP loan and how it applies to your particular situation. I would caution you to make sure that you're applying through an approved lender like Lendio or like your individual bank or credit union rather than just going and Googling it online, because I don't want you to get burned by it. So another question that people have had about this coronavirus stimulus, about the things that have come because of COVID-19, has to do with the IRS stimulus check. So my understanding, and I'll tell you, you know, kind of what's going on and what the deal is, my understanding is you can check the status of your payment if you go to the IRS's website and they have a Check My Stimulus Payment website. You can just Google Get My Stimulus Check and it will come up with your Get My Payment, but the IRS's website is actually www.irs.gov/coronavirus/get-my-payment. That's irs.gov/coronavirus/get-my-payment. So my understanding is the way that this system works is you're able to go on there and provide some basic info. You got to have your social and your date of birth and your address handy, and you should be able to see the status of your payment. Now, the thing that has come up with this particular site and this particular tool is a lot of people are getting the error message that says, based on the information provided, we cannot tell you if you qualify for this stimulus. What I will tell you the qualifications are, you have to be a United States citizen that made less as a single person than $75,000 in 2019 or in 2018 to qualify for this stimulus and have filed your taxes, or you have to have made less than $150,000 as a married couple to get the full stimulus amount, which is, to my understanding, is that $1,200 per person plus $500 per child. Okay? If you are on Social Security and don't file tax returns, my understanding is that you still qualify even if you don't file tax returns, but you are encouraged to go on to this Check My Payment, Get My Payment website and provide direct deposit details, because the IRS may not have it on file, and if they don't, they're going to be mailing out paper checks. Now, if you make above that number that I told you, above the 75, but below 99,000, below the $100,000 mark, you get a graduated down payment. They have not provided guidance on what that exact amount is. Now, the question I had from a client that said, well, I owed taxes last year, and I paid them, and I filed electronically, and they have my direct deposit info because they pulled that money to pay the taxes. And my understanding is if you did not receive a refund and have direct deposit where that refund went from the federal government, not Oregon, not Washington, well, Washington doesn't have income tax, right? So not Oregon. If you have a refund that came from the federal government and got direct deposited into your bank account, that's where they're going to put it. And they should have all your info. And even if it says we don't have enough info to tell you if you qualify for that, if you filed your taxes for 2018, and especially if you filed for 2019, you had a refund coming and you had direct deposit and you matched those requirements that I mentioned before, you will be getting that stimulus payment. My understanding is the tool needs to be uploaded by Treasury. They are severely understaffed at the IRS and at Treasury, in my understanding. They are updating that tool. So what that means, if you have the "we can't tell you if you qualify," your information has not been loaded in there. If you have not filed your 2019 taxes because you've been waiting until, you know, the deadline got extended to July, I would encourage you to file them right now. File them as soon as you can, because then, especially if you're getting a refund, get your refund. But then you can also make sure that they have your information. The other thing to check with that Get My Refund tool, Get My Payment tool, is if you have moved in the last year and you are a paper check qualifier, they're going to mail that check to your old address. So you're going to want to know to make sure that you get the checks, you can get that stimulus check coming back. Now, the thing that I've heard, and it's kind of funny when you think about, this isn't free money, it's kind of like a refund, right? It is a credit, a tax credit that they're giving you in the form of a prepaid stimulus check. So it's not like free money, it's not amazing. And don't forget, all this money that the government is pumping in between the PPP program, between the EIDL program, and between this stimulus and the various and sundry bailouts that they're offering by buying ETFs, buying high yield bonds, buying all these other things to keep liquidity, that's going to add up. The government is just adding money and adding money and adding money to their balance sheet. And I think that's going to come due at some point, and that's going to be on us in the form of our taxes, right? So if you can get this stimulus check, make sure you get all that money and start being smarter about your taxes now, when we're talking about taxes for retirement or taxes for later on, I think it makes a lot of sense. Now, the other things that happen, and the thing that is great about this pushback of the tax deadline, is it's also a pushback of your required contribution date for 2019 IRAs. So if you were thinking about contributing to your IRA, traditional or Roth, I always lean towards Roth. Folks, you know that that's the way that I lean. I like the Roth because I'd rather pay a smaller amount of taxes now, not have it be taxable later, and be left to my heirs tax-free. But I also think that the tax deduction is not that great right now necessarily. But you have until July 15th or till you file to claim that deduction for your 2019 taxes. So that's pretty exciting that they've pushed back that deadline. Normally it's April 15th. They've pushed it back to July 15th for IRA and Roth contributions. Now, I mentioned before the taxes going up. I think we can all agree that taxes are at historical lows now, and that in order to pay for all these things that we're running, all these government subsidies, which I'm not opposed to helping out those folks that need it, I don't like the government spending money, but the government has forced us out of work, and so, you know, they do need to make some of that right. But this government debt problem that just keeps climbing and climbing is going to come due at some point. And so that's going to be in the form of higher taxes. So if you've been saying to yourself, hey, I've been saving money in my IRA, in my 401k for the long term because my tax rate's higher now than it's going to be in retirement, it might be, but I kind of lean towards the other direction. I think it might not be. And you're also leaving that money in there. If you think about it, you got $1 million in an IRA or $1 million in a 401k, you really don't have $1 million. I talked about that ad nauseum, but you really have, give or take, $700,000 in that IRA. And if you're using that 4% free withdrawal rate or the 4% safe withdrawal for retirement, the rule of thumb that a lot of people use, instead of having $40,000 a year in terms of safe withdrawal from there, you have a lot less. You have 30% less, right? So 10% of $40,000 is $4,000 times 3 is 12. You got $28,000. So you just took a $12,000 a year haircut because you have to pay the taxes on it, right? In terms of what's an actual safe withdrawal. So analyze that situation. Now is a good time, especially if, you know, folks are analyzing what to do when they're at home, what to do if you're not in work. Give our office a call, 503-253-3000. Drop me an email. I'm not saying you can't pay, you won't have to pay the taxes at some point, but if we can be tax smart, if we can carve the IRS out of your legacy, out of your life as much as we possibly can and in a smart way, wouldn't that be something you'd want to know about? So let's talk about how we can do that. Give our office a call, 503-253-3000, or email me at bo@pfgwm.com. For radio listeners, we're happy to give you that analysis, give you that risk analysis, and the tax, you know, harvesting analysis, all for free. So give us a shout if you'd like to sit down virtually or over the phone, or if you'd like to schedule some time for when we do get back to in-person meetings. I had a question come in about that. We do have a West Side office. We actually have two now, two available West Side offices, one in Southwest down in Tigard, one in Northwest up near Bethany. We also have Mall 205, our normal East Side office. We can meet you at any of those spots that's most convenient, or we can do it virtually if it needs to happen before we're allowed to get back together, virtually via phone or via Zoom conference. So give our office a call, 503-253-3000. We're going to take our last break here, and then we'll be back with the last segment of Investing Simplified.
Legal matters are never easy, but they are especially difficult when they involve the most important people and aspects of your life. This is Taylor Cattell, founding partner of KG Law Group. It's important to have an attorney who cares about your unique circumstances and knows how to get the outcome that is best for you. At KG Law Group, we specialize in estate planning and family law, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, and divorce. At KG Law Group, we provide both expertise and compassion as we guide you through the complex legal landscape. We balance knowledge of the law with exemplary client service. Whether you're reacting to a crisis or planning for the future, we are here to help. If you need legal advice, give us a call today and schedule a consultation at 503-878-8948. That's 878-8948. Or visit us online at kglawgroup.com. That's kglawgroup.com, serving Oregon and Southwest Washington. KG Law Group, your family, your legacy.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. Thanks for staying with me today. Thanks for tuning in. If you have a question that you'd like answered on future episodes, as a reminder, shoot me an email at askbo@pfgwm.com. That's askbo@pfgwm.com, or visit investingsimplifiedradio.com and leave your question there via text. We'd love to answer it. I'd love to be covering topics that are relevant to you. I know I teased last week about having Kevin on. I'm hopeful that next week we'll be able to have Kevin and maybe Taylor on for a segment each to answer some of those tax and legal questions that you may have been having, some things to look at now that we're all reevaluating things during the coronavirus crisis. I'm hopeful that we can get that going via phone and get that up and ready for you guys. And then as soon as, again, we're able to take live phone calls, I know they are both itching to get back in front of you guys so that we can answer your questions live as they come up. One of the things that I've been talking about, you know, today is what are the things to be thinking about? What are the things to be looking at? What are the things that we need to be evaluating now that we're sort of in this, you know, government-induced, medically-induced coma that is the economy and what's happening with this crisis. And one of the things that I've talked to a lot of people about, especially those folks who are on the younger side in the younger age of the family or aren't yet retired, they're still approaching retirement, have a long time to go till they're retired, is analyzing your life insurance situation. And I don't like spending a whole show talking about insurance. It's really not sexy. It's not fun. It's the one thing that, you know, we're guaranteed to get paid out on. That's the one thing I can tell you in this business is the one thing that is guaranteed to get you a return on your investment is life insurance, because we're all going to die sometime, right? So if you have insurance and you keep paying the premiums, you're going to get a return on that investment. Well, maybe not you, but your loved ones or your beneficiaries. But the question is, how much life insurance do I need? And that goes both ways, folks, because a lot of times people have been sold life insurance either too much, they are overinsured and are paying too much, they have too little to actually cover their needs, cover what they need to happen when they pass away, or it's an old policy that they've never really taken a look at, and they were sold something that was really sexy back in the 90s or even earlier on, or they were sold this permanent policy that they were told, hey, this is going to provide you with a ton of tax-free income in retirement and all these other things, and now we're getting a you know, it's not on track letter from the insurance company and this, that, or the other. And the key is there's no set rule for insurance, but it behooves you to take a look at it and have it reviewed. We, you know, in the last couple of weeks, I've done this with a couple of folks and found that they were paying gobs more than they needed to because they talked about what's important for you to be protecting with this insurance, because insurance is not an investment, folks. Even if we're talking about, you know, a fixed index annuity or an annuity side, which is an insurance product that kind of behaves similar to an investment, but it's not an investable asset. It's insurance. It's protection that does something else, right? So if you had an insurance agent that sold you an insurance policy as an investment, I worry about it because it may not have been set up right, and it was probably set up for them to get a big commission. So what we've done is we do what's called an in-force illustration. We request that from the current insurance company. We take a look and find out what exactly are you paying for this insurance policy? What exactly are you protecting? The big key and the one question you should be asking yourself and your spouse is, how much money would we feel comfortable that our spouse would be taken care of if we passed away? And a lot of people think of their mortgage. They want to pay off their mortgage when their spouse passes away. Totally makes sense. You definitely want to pay that off. If I had my druthers, that's personally, I'd want my mortgage to be paid off because I don't like having debt. And if I passed away, I'd want to make sure that my wife wouldn't have to carry that debt as well as, you know, as taking care of the children. But then you also think about final expenses. Maybe I want to pay for those. Maybe I want to pay for my kids or my grandkids' education. I want to make sure that they have, you know, a college fund set aside. Maybe you want to talk about an emergency fund. You know, I usually recommend people have 3 to 6 months of expenses saved up in something liquid and safe that they can use for emergencies. Maybe you want to fill that up for your spouse in case something goes away. And then the last one to consider is the income that you are no longer going to be providing if you pass away. So a rule of thumb for people to look at is, how long do you need that income to go? So if you are 50 years old and you're only planning on working another 5 years, why do you have a 20-year term policy? Right? Why do you have a permanent life insurance policy that is insuring $1 million worth of insurance when really you only need to replace 10 years of income? Maybe we can save you some money. Maybe we can, you know, help you figure out if you've been spending too much money on insurance, if you've been overinsured, or if you're in a product that maybe is outdated. You know, the analogy I use is, remember when, you know, the biggest, baddest television that we had was, you know, back, you know, 15, 20 years ago, how thick was it? Took 3 people, and I'm a big dude, right? And it took 3 of us to carry it in and up the stairs. And now, what's the first thing you see when you walk into Costco, besides the masks on everybody's faces and them counting, keeping people 6 feet apart? But you see TVs, giant, super fancy TVs that are way cheaper and way more efficient. Insurance has gotten like that, both on the annuity and on the life insurance side, because of regulations. Because the insurance industry had been so improperly used for folks and people were taken advantage of, they have really cracked down on it. That being said, just because they've cracked down on it and made a lot of improvements, there are a lot of, you know, shady people out there pitching this stuff as the be-all, end-all and the thing that, you know, need to run it. That's why we'd like to say, you know, for radio listeners, for people that want to call in, that want to sit down with me, we're happy to do that review for you and just lay it out in layman's terms where you're at. You're not an insurance agent. You're not an insurance professional. You don't have the designations in there. So when somebody comes at you and says, here's all the charts and here's all the graphs and here's the way it's going to be the best for you and it's going to provide all this stuff, but then 20 years down the road, you're kind of thinking, I remember we bought this for a reason. I don't remember what, though, right? You have maintenance, folks, on your car. You get maintenance on, you know, your appliances. Why not get maintenance on your financial plan, on your insurance plan, on all of those things, and make sure that everything's still running smoothly, right? We just tune it up. Let's make sure that you don't need to sub something out or sub something in. Or again, just like when we talk about your portfolio analysis or your risk analysis, worst case is you're doing the right thing. And you can have that peace of mind. Take one more worry off of you. And I know that it's on top of people's minds now that we talk about this virus and being out there. The other thing that insurance policy could do, and I say, I feel like it's sort of scare tactic of me to say, hey, you might have too much insurance, you might be paying too much, you might have been taken advantage of by an agent 20 years ago, but maybe we can reposition that insurance that you had and position it as a legacy play. maybe we can reposition it as a way to set your kids or your grandkids up for the future. Because if you've already been paying it, right, maybe we can just reallocate it, reposition it as part of your plan, which brings you back to you need to have that overall plan to tell you where you're going, right? Because if you have these things set up and you just set them and forget them, they get outdated. And what I'll tell you is what we like to do when we do that analysis for you is we like to know who you're working with on an estate planning perspective. And great if that's Taylor, because you know she's really easy for me to contact. I have her on the show, but great if it's somebody else too, because I want to make sure that whatever advice I'm giving you about what to do and how to position it, it hasn't already been allocated by your estate attorney. We also want to coordinate with your tax person because we want to make sure that we're not doing anything that's going to cause you a tax headache based on something you planned 20 years ago. So it's really key to find those things, make sure you know where they are, and get that analyzed. The other half of that, the other piece of that is even if you say, you know what, Bo, I know exactly what I'm doing with my insurance and with my estate planning, and I got it, dialed in. Awesome. That's amazing, and that's even better for me because then I don't have to do any work, right? I don't have to be telling you, what you need to do differently. But does your wife know where all that stuff is? Does your husband know where all that stuff is? If you're single or widowed, do your kids know where all that stuff is? Because if something happens to you, and not to be that sort of doom and gloom guy about the coronavirus or anything like that, but if something happens to you and you're on a ventilator, and heaven forbid, I'm going to knock on wood here, if heaven forbid you are not able to come out of it, are your kids, are your wife, are your nieces, your nephews, your brothers, sisters, whoever it is that's going to be taking care of things for you, do they know where all that stuff is? So it's worth having that conversation as hard as it is. That's one thing to reflect on, in this sort of situation is, I'm healthy now and I did this myself. I talked to my wife and said, hey, do you know where my insurance policies are? Do you know how much they are? Do you know what you need to do if something happens to me? Now, folks, I'm young. I'm healthy. I don't believe I've been infected with the coronavirus. I'm certainly, praying that I will not get it. And I pray that no one that I know or is close to people that I know gets it. But I know that it's a prevalent thing. And it's worth having the conversation. It's an emergency plan, like when you talk about for an earthquake, right? You talk about your emergency plan. It's an emergency plan for anything like that. Have you talked to your spouse? Have you talked to your kids about what's your end of life plan? And that doesn't mean that you're planning on dying. I'm not planning on dying for 40 or 50 years, at least. I mean, that's what I'm hoping, right? And so I want to make sure, though, that she knows where that stuff is and she knows what the plan is if something happens to me. So it's worth having that conversation right now. If you need help organizing all that stuff, if you need help making sure that it all makes sense for what your overall vision is, again, I'd behoove you, give me a shout, 503-253-3000, or drop me an email. I'm happy to review that with you. No cost, no obligation. We'll put together that just a one-page thing of here's where everything is, here's how all that goes. We can talk about what makes sense for you guys, what makes sense for your situation, whether that's changing your investments, changing your protection plan, changing your legacy plan, any of those things. You want to make sure that it's what you want to happen, and that's what happens. Not what the government wants, not what the state wants, what you and your family want to happen. We want to make sure that that's what happens. So give us a call, draw me an email. If you have a question specifically about your situation, if listening today has caused you to think, oh man, I wonder how that would apply, but I don't really want to sit down for a consult, no problem. Drop me an email at askbo@pfgwm.com or put your question on investingsimplifiedradio.com. I will make sure to answer it as best I can. If you have a question for Taylor or for Kevin that you'd like me to cover and get their answer, or you'd like them to cover when they come on, hopefully next week, drop it there too. We'd like to provide the info. Information is power. What you don't know can hurt you, and we want to make sure we're getting you that relevant information that applies to you. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today. I think it's been about an hour, so I appreciate it. I appreciate you spending some of your quarantine time. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you're staying home. I hope you're staying safe. And I pray and I hope that we're going to get through this soon, and I know that we will all get through it together, and we will come out of it in a better spot. That's how America works. That's how we as humans work. We're all humans and we're all in this together. So God bless you all. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week. Like I said, I'm very hopeful that I can have Kevin and Taylor on again so you don't have to listen to me ramble on anymore. You've been listening to Investing Simplified. Have a great week.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called AssetLock. AssetLock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers AssetLock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have AssetLock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get AssetLock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.